Radio Fantasy Podcast. Yo soy Mauricio Gutiérrez, analista de Fantasy Football. Tenemos otra plática fantasy y otra vez en inglés. Espero que ya estén aprendiendo un poco del idioma, porque la verdad les dije, vale la pena tener a gente que sepa mucho de Fantasy Football, aunque sea en inglés, y eso es lo que estoy haciendo con esta serie. Hoy toca turno tener a Brian Drake, host de The Fantasy Football Hustle, host de un show de Pro Football Focus en SiriusXM y finalista de Artículo del Año de la Fantasy Sports Writers Association. Brian, amigo, welcome to the Study of Fantasy Podcast for the first time.
Well, Mauricio, thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited to talk to you and get in front of your audience and just have some fun. You and I had a blast actually getting to meet last year and having a couple of cervezas. See, I know a little bit of Spanish. Okay. I took 4 years of Spanish in high school, and I remember I got to the third year, and my teacher came to me, and she goes, I don't think you know how to conjugate a verb. I go, I have no idea what that means. You know, she's like, oh, my goodness, what are we doing?
You were like, pour tequila, and that's it, right?
Oh, we had to do a test where you had to give 10 – they would give you a scenario. Okay, Brian, you're at a store, and you need to do whatever. I had 10 lines memorized that I knew I could do. It was about buying pants, where's the bathroom, where's the library, like biblioteca. What does that have to do with buying pants? It doesn't matter. It counts as a line.
¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
Yes. And I'm checking out. I go, that's a line. 9 more to go.
Yeah. Now you can do another lines for fantasy football. Like, ¿en qué ronda seleccionarías a Saquon Barkley? Which round would you select Saquon Barkley, right?
I'll learn, because we got to expand. Fantasy football is blowing up. It's not just a game here in the United States. It's all over the world, people playing fantasy football. And really, it's a testament to guys like you who are bringing the game to the masses and just including so many more people. So I'm so proud to be here and excited to talk about, you know, all kinds of stuff going on in fantasy. Yeah. This is the time of year, man. NFL training camps just opened up. Let's go.
I know. We have a lot to cover in this episode. We are going to talk about the Fantasy Football Expo. We are going to talk about the King's Classic Fantasy League that we are going to draft over there in the Expo, in the Hall of Fame. And obviously, you already said it, training camp battles or things to watch for fantasy football is going to be a blast. Let's start with the Fantasy Football Expo, Brian. We met last year. We have a blast. We have an amazing time. 2022 looks to be, I don't want to say a different event, but I feel like that it's going to be way more massive this year, right? Are you agree?
Oh, for sure. The amount of people that are coming into Canton, Ohio, I believe it's about August 12th, 13th, and 14th for the Expo, it grows every day. So you don't have to be a fantasy football analyst to go to this. You can just be a fan of the game. And they've got so much going on out there with the Hall of Fame, Friday night there's a party, Saturday night there's a party, there's a poker tournament, which you're playing in, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for my poker skills. I have to dust a little bit, but I'm ready.
I don't know anything about poker. My friend Drew Davenport, he's going to run the event. I told him, if you need me to like check tickets at the door or refresh people's drinks, I'll help you out and do whatever, because I like being a good friend and being helpful, but I don't know anything about poker. I would lose my money in 30 seconds. One hand. I'm all in. Like, I'm trying to win all it in one hand, like a Hail Mary.
With a two and a three. Whatever.
Right, is that good? I don't know.
No, two and three, it's a very, very bad hand, man. You need aces. Aces, an ace and a queen, an ace and a king. It's like having Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor in the same team.
Oh, see, two out of three,
it's like starting your draft with probably Michael Pittman. It's a good player, but you don't want to start with him in your fantasy football draft, and probably a quarterback. So, in a non-super flex league,
it's gonna be big time. Are you gonna wear like sunglasses during it, or so people don't get a tell, and you could have like headphones on listening to something.
Yeah, sunglasses and headphones probably. Yeah, that's going to be my attire for the Icebreaker Poker, hosted by Football Guys and Drew Davenport. The minute I I saw the announcement that Drew Davenport was hosting that event, I was like, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. I was planning to arrive to Canton on Friday, but because two things, I changed it to Thursday because of the poker tournament and because of my experience last year that I lost my flight in Houston, my connection, and I arrive on Friday night. So I'm like, okay, one day before, so everything's going to be great.
I'm with you. I'm driving in also. Last year, they canceled my flight at 7:30 the night before. I'm on a golf course, and all of a sudden, I get a message from Delta Airlines. Oh, hey, your flight's canceled. There's nothing else we can do to reschedule you. Sorry. Have a good night. Oh. So I just go get an oil change in my car. I throw my bag in the back seat, and whoop, 6 hours up the highway, I'm in Canton, Ohio.
Wow. Well, so I'm not messing around. 6 hours it's not that far. It's a lot, but it's not that far. Did you drive alone? Yeah.
I like driving alone. I can listen to, you know, some podcasts. I can put music on, stop whenever I want, just kind of chill. I feel like if someone's in the car now, I have to like entertain them for six hours. They might not like my music, or, you know, I'm a big like Howard Stern fan. If anyone listens to Howard Stern. So, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, but, you know, I'm going by myself.
Okay. That's great, man. And this year, like you said, we have a lot of bands. We have a flag football tourney. We have a QB skills challenge, a lot of parties. What's the most you're looking forward of events? And obviously, I know that the part that we are looking most is to see people, to see our colleagues, to see fans about fantasy football, to talk about the industry, to put a face on persons we never met. I know that Drew, your co-host, Dwayne, is going to be there, and you have never seen him, right?
I've never met Dwayne McFarlane in real life. We've been doing the Fantasy Football Hustle podcast for 5 years, and we talk just like how you and I are talking now over the computer. So it'll be fun to meet Dwayne and break bread with him for a few nights. He'll be there Thursday also. In terms of what I'm most excited, you know, I love flag football, and I love, you know, these skills competitions. So, you know, I'm getting old, Mauricio. I'll be 42 years old in about 3 weeks.
We're young, Brian.
So I kind of want to get out there and run around, but then I thought to myself, this is how you know you're a degenerate. I'm thinking to myself, okay, I have a draft in the afternoon, then I'd have to play football. At some point, I have to eat and then shower to go back out that night. I'm like, I don't want to get sweaty and have to go shower because it's going to interrupt my beer drinking. So I'm like, I'll just do the quarterback skills challenge. You know, I am not an accurate thrower of the football at all. I am Drew Locke. I am Mark Sanchez. Like, I don't know where this ball is going to go, but I'm going to have fun trying to win some prizes.
Okay. At least you don't do a butt fumble. Everything's okay.
Yeah, now I'm from New York, like Mark Sanchez, the Jets. So we'll see. We'll see who's standing in front of me.
Probably it's a play that can win you the quarterback skills challenge. I don't think so, but probably. And then on Sunday, we have the expo with a lot of panels, redraft, dynasty, IDP, DFS, high stakes, auction. You name it, you have it on the expo. Bob Long is doing a great work with this event, and we are looking forward for it.
I'm so happy that Bob includes me in this. So Bob's someone now I can call a friend. I've got to meet him multiple years going to this event. So kudos to Bob Long. Everyone, you know, check out his consistency guide on Amazon.
Also, and great guide.
I was so hungover last year at that. I remember sitting at one of the booth or the panels. And I look up on stage, and I see my buddy Drew, I see my buddy Doug Orth, and I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm going to throw up. I got to get out of here. They're coming up to me, they're like, hey, you're Brian Drake, I want to say hello, blah, 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 let's take a selfie together. I'm like, dude, I don't have any food in me right now, I think I'm still drunk. And then I had to drive 6 hours back home.
At what time did you sleep on Saturday?
Oh, my gosh. Or
you even slept?
Anything? We probably got back to the hotel around 4 a.m.
Wow.
I was out with Dr. Jesse Morse, if you ever see him on Twitter, and Doug and Drew and some other people. It was crazy. I wish I was not drinking so heavily, because Jesse, who is a real doctor and works with NFL players, was giving out great information about injuries and his thoughts on players. And oh my gosh, that's a podcast right there. He is a wealth of information. But of course I forget it all the next morning because I enjoy Miller Lights too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually stopped Saturday after the party in the Centennial Park.
Mm-hmm.
I drank another one or two beers on the hotel lobby and that was it.
I didn't know that there was
a karaoke, that there was a bar open. I didn't know anything about that.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know karaoke. I knew there was a birthday party that we crashed. We went in there for that. But yeah, my wife is on me this year. She's like, every drink you have a glass of water. Make sure you eat some food. Because I'm a scrawny guy. Like, I'm 5'11", about 155 pounds. So I'm like a Patriots slot receiver, right? I'm like that Wes Welker, Danny Amendola type. And I need some food in me. Because otherwise, these beers will hit me like, you know, Ray Lewis going across the middle.
Yeah, I'm really worried about the Friday party. Because last year we have, an event in the lobby and it was like an icebreaker and nothing too crazy. But this year we have a formal, official Fantasy Football Expo party at the Centennial Park. And I'm really worried about that because the next day, 9 a.m., we have to be in the Hall of Fame to do two drafts of the King's Classic Fantasy League.
I know. And that King's Classic League is no joke. That's a 14-team league. So, folks, if you're out there and you play maybe an 8-team, a 10-team is very popular, a 12-team, now add two more teams, 14 teams, and everybody's smart. Everybody knows what they're doing. It's not like your buddy from down the street you got in the league because you know you can take his $100. This, everybody is sharp. So by the time you get into the third round, you're just looking around like, there's nobody left to take. I'm done. I'm taking my kicker in defense and going home.
Because we have three flags as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a tough, tough league. And we have a snake draft and an auction draft. Man, it's a really tough morning. Enjoyable. I'm really looking forward to it, but it's really, really tough.
Yeah, if you've never done an auction draft before, I can't stress enough. You should give that a try, folks, because you know, if you're drafting in your home league and you've got the 10th pick, let's say, you know, you're not going to get Austin Eckler. You're not going to get Christian McCaffrey. You're not going to get Jonathan Taylor. In an auction league, you could. That's how you could make your team. You could say, I'm going to spend all my money on these guys and I'm going to make the team how I want to make it. And, you know, I think it helps smarter players because you know how to value players. It's not just who fell to me in the course of this snake draft. And anybody reading a cheat sheet could say, oh, well, this is the next guy, so I'm going to take him. In an auction draft, it's not like that. You have to be on your game. So it is a blast. And I need to make the playoffs this year in that league.
You made it last year? I did not.
I had a great team. I had a ton of points. And then the last 2 weeks, my team just fell off. I think I might have had like a quarterback injury or something happened. And I learned for the first time in that 2 years ago, you cannot trade quarterbacks in that league. I had Cam Newton and I believe I had Josh Allen. So I thought, oh, well, I'll be able just to trade one of those guys, right? Nobody wanted him, even though it's a 14 team league.
Yeah.
And so I had to sit on these guys and I could have used that draft pick, which is a lesson for everybody else out there. You don't need to take a second quarterback if you're not playing a second quarterback. If it's not a 2 QB league, let that second quarterback go forever. Get him off the waiver wire. You don't need to clog your bench when you could be adding another running back, another wide receiver, or tight end.
Yeah, more value over there. I did the playoffs in the Snake League. In the Auction League, it was a terrible season for me. I think I was 11th or 12th out of 14th. It was really tough because I spent a lot of money in Antonio Gibson, a lot of money in Clyde Edwards-Helaer.
Oh, man.
You can imagine. Yeah.
They both crapped the bed for you. This year, there'll be bargains. You'll get those guys for nothing.
I know. And I'm actually all in. Well, not all in, but I really like Antonio Gibson's value, round 5th. Clyde Edwards-Helaer, you can pick it up in round 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. I think they're about over there.
I absolutely agree on Clyde Edwards-Helaer. I'm scooping him up everywhere. I got him in the Scott Fishbowl. Again, we're going to talk about the Kansas City wide receivers in a little bit, but this is an offense. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire is healthy, you know they're going to move the football. He's going to get the goal line carries. You know, gone. I know we have Ronald Jones there, but who knows, you know, if he even makes the team at this point. But right. Someone's got to get the carries. Someone's got to catch all the screen passes. It's an Andy Reid offense. They love throwing screen passes. They love checking the ball down. So he's going to have value. He just needs to stay healthy.
Yeah. He haven't stayed healthy in the first 2 years of his career. And I think he's going to be good. And yesterday, with the news broke that the Chiefs put it on the PUP list, I was like, oh, man, his ADP is going to sink a lot more. And today, okay, we're going to activate Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I was like, oh.
I know. And that's why you can't overreact to these training camp stories. And people will hear news that comes out like, oh, this guy caught a pass. And they have a video of it on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. And it's like, yeah, I get it, because they're going against the fourth string defensive back or a coach or just on air. Like, they're supposed to catch the ball there. Wait until there's actual some preseason games when there's an opponent trying to stop them on the other side.
Yeah, totally agree. And even if we can't overreact to the training camp Twitter reactions, we have to start overviewing those training camp situations, those training camp battles. Let's start with the Seattle Seahawks. They have two situations to monitor. The running backs, Rashad Penny versus Kenneth Walker, the experience versus the rookie, and then the QB situation with Drew Lock and Geno Smith. In the running backs, who's your favorite to be the lead back in this backfield?
So between Rashad Penny, again, former first-round pick, so he's got the draft capital, and Kenneth Walker, the rookie out of Michigan State. You guys got to remember, Rashad Penny last year was a monster over the final 5 weeks of the season. He had four games, Mauricio, with over 135 yards rushing in that span.
He was a league winner.
Yeah, absolutely. League winner. Yeah. And you probably got him off the waiver wire because somebody dropped him because, again, that's Rashad Penny, though. He never plays all the games. He's always in and out of the lineup playing hokey pokey with us. So, you know, we'll see if he can maintain that role all season long. Or you've got the rookie Kenneth Walker. He's a great runner. He was electric at Michigan State, and he wasn't asked to be a pass catcher. To me, that's what I want to find out. Who is going to play third downs in this offense? Because this team played so slow last year, Mauricio.
Yeah.
They ran the fewest plays in the league.
And probably it's going to happen this year as well.
Right. They're trying to get the first pick. Let's be honest. They're tanking this year. It's funny. Everyone thinks that the Seahawks are this like ground and pound team. But because they run so few plays, they were 28th in the NFL in actual rushing attempts last year. People think, oh, no, they got to be top five. No, because they don't run any plays. They never get a first down.
Yeah. So they can have volume, but actually it's not enough volume to be fantasy. I mean, I don't see a running back two, solid running back two out of this Rashad Penny or Kenneth Walker.
And if I got to take one of them, I guess I'll take Rashad Penny, because I think Pete Carroll, the head coach, loves to stick with the veterans. He's going to give Penny the first shot. And if it gets to a point in the season where, you know, they're 3-10, yeah, maybe they say, okay, Kenneth Walker, let's give him a shot for now. But I'm going to take – if I got to draft one of them right now, I guess I'm going to take Rashad Penny, because I think he's going to get the bulk of the work. We know they don't want the ball in the quarterback's hands.
No one wants the balls in the quarterback's hands of Drew Lock or Geno Smith.
No. Both of these guys, they're backups, okay? So unless they find a way – and maybe they will, to acquire Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Seattle threw it 525 times last year, which was second to only the Eagles, who threw less, my beloved Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm giving the edge to Geno Smith just because of his experience in the league as a starter. He was there last year. But let's be honest, Mauricio, we know how this is going to go. Geno's going to play the first 4 or 5 weeks. Then they're going to stink. Then they're going to, all right, let's give the kid Drew Lock a shot. We're going to see Drew Lock be Drew Lock. It's going to come down to be who doesn't turn the ball over the most. Yeah. You remember Geno Smith, his first 2 years in the league with the Jets, he had 34 interceptions. So last year he started three games. He only had one. Drew Lock, he threw 15 in his year as a starter in 2020, 13 games with the Broncos. So to me, that's what it comes down to. Whoever can keep the ball for this offense to, you know, run it twice into the line and then throw an incomplete pass and punt, that's who's going to be the quarterback.
And this quarterback situation affects, obviously, the wide receivers.
Right.
Are you avoiding DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett at cost at ADP right now?
DK Metcalf, absolutely. I did draft him in a dynasty league. And if you look at the Seahawks, so despite throwing the second fewest passes in the NFL last year, they led the NFL in deep passing attempts of 20 yards or more. That suits Tyler Lockett. And I think last year he had a little rapport with Geno Smith because Lockett was kind of off the radar for a while. He couldn't do anything. So I'm in on Tyler Lockett really late, because if you look at the guys who are going around Tyler Lockett, I mean, he is a Pro Bowl caliber player that you're going to get. Let me see if I can find him in terms of ADP right here. But, you know, it's like rookies and backup guys.
Chris Olave and it's really hard. It's really, really low.
Right. Yeah. Rashad Bateman, you know, another run first offense. Elijah Moore with a terrible quarterback, Devonta Smith, another team that doesn't want to throw the ball. So, I mean, Lockett's got that boom bust potential. Maybe I hate to say he's one of those guys better in best ball, but who knows? Maybe this team won't be as terrible as we think, because at some point they've got to try to get a first down and they really only have two passing options. So we hope one of them or both of them come through. But in terms of if I'm buying one of them, it's going to be Lockett. There's no way I'm touching DK Metcalf in the third, fourth round. Yeah. No way.
Me neither. I prefer another options. I really think there are more solid options in the third round. Staying in the West, Brian, let's go with the San Francisco 49ers. We have the running back two battle. If there is even a battle over there with Trey Sermon, the rookie Cheren Davis Price, and Jeff Wilson, you think Elijah Mitchell is secure with his running back leader running back over there, or some one of these other running backs can be like a shadow or like a menace to his volume?
Yes, this is a running game you want a piece of, right? Yes, right. And Trey Lance is going to be the starting quarterback here. He's going to run himself for 800 to 1,000 yards, but there's plenty of meat on the bone for everybody else. Last year, they had the fifth most rushing attempts in the league while still having Deebo Samuel have a monster season, Brandon Ayuk, and George Kittle. So let's assume Eli Mitchell's a starter. He's a sixth rounder, right? He can never stay healthy. He's missed parts of seven games last year, but he still rushed for almost 1,000 yards.
But he was inefficient, though.
Yeah, and imagine if they would have thrown him the ball more. I know there was a week last year where they finally started throwing him the football, and he seemed very capable, but here's what I think they want to do. They know he's kind of brittle, almost like Raheem Mostert, who just left town and went to Miami. So I think Cheren Davis Price, they drafted him. He's a big back, 6'1", 232 pounds, and he did nothing in the passing game at LSU. He only had 15 receptions in 3 years. So he's going to be a guy who's going to grind in between the tackles, and he's super affordable. If you want to take a shot on a guy with major upside to score touchdowns, he's the 62nd running back off the board, according to Fantasy Pros. Like, I'll take shots on that all day. In terms of the other guys on the team, you know who bothers me, Mauricio? Can he just go away? Is this Jeff Wilson Jr.?
Yeah, I know.
Still on the team. This guy's a fantasy pest. Just when you think he got this backfield figured out, he slides in, he's stealing goal line touches, and he's somebody the team trusts. You got to remember, Wilson had 10 touchdowns just 2 years ago in 2020.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
Ugh, but yeah, between all those guys, I was really in on Eli Mitchell last year. If he slides in your league, definitely take a shot on him. But Cheren Davis Price, that's the guy I'm watching in training camp. I want to see if he becomes sort of that goal line back and between the tackles grinder.
I agree. One of my running backs to avoid this year is Elijah Mitchell.
Really? Okay. ADP.
Yeah. I'm targeting Cheren Davis Price in the late rounds. And what Brian just said, very important thing, draft Trey Lance everywhere you can.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
800 to 1,000 rushing yards. That's a Jalen Hurts type season, even a Lamar Jackson type season.
No question. And then if you want to back up later in the draft, take Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Because Justin Fields is probably more talented of a thrower than Trey Lance and Jalen Hurts. I mean, his team stinks, but you know they're going to be behind a lot. They've got a new offense. They're going to be throwing the ball a little bit more. I'm in on Justin Fields. Nobody wants to draft Justin Fields this year, and he's the guy that can kind of break out and help you win your league if you really want to wait late on the quarterback.
You know, well, at least I did it last year. I said that Trey Lance could be a league winner. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields could be a league winner. What changed with them from last year to this year? Actually, both are in better situations to thrive in fantasy football.
Sure.
So why are we not drafting Justin Fields? I know Trey Lance, it's QB13 in ADP and all that stuff, but Justin Fields, it's free.
Absolutely free. And yeah. I think it's just because the team looked so bad. And I blame that on the play caller. Matt Nagy was terrible. He did not put Justin Fields in a position to win last year.
At all.
So we'll see this year. They still don't have a lot of weapons. It's going to be, you know, Darnell Mooney, and you've got Cole Kmet and a bunch of kind of cast-offs to fill in the rest of that receiving group. But to me, it's almost like Green Bay, where you look and you go, somebody's got to catch the football here. You know they're going to throw it. You know, we don't want to draft Alan Lazard and, you know, Randall Cobb's a million years old and there's all these rookies and all. But you know what? At the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is still going to put up top 10 quarterback numbers. He's going to be throwing it to somebody. It's not me or you, so it's going to be one of those guys.
Yeah, totally. And Justin Fields, it's a talented QB, and he has the Konami code, what he can do by landing, rushing. I really like him.
The O-line stinks. Maybe that's going to help him break the pocket and run more, which, hey, maybe that's what we want. You only need these quarterbacks, guys. If say you draft one of these running quarterbacks, you want them to run for 60, 70, 80 yards a week. That's like a free touchdown. Then if they throw a touchdown, great. If they throw two touchdowns, it's a bonanza. If they throw for a couple, maybe they run one in, you're doing naked cartwheels down the street.
I don't want to see that, but yeah, you can do that. Ryan, following with the training camp situations, there is one specific player I really intrigued in Atlanta, and the running backs. We saw Cordarrelle Patterson have an explosive season last year. In the half of the season, he sank a little bit, and Mike Davis was used a lot more in the passing game. That I was surprised, but I know Cordarrelle Patterson was injured. And now they drafted Tyler Allgeier. That seems a complement to Cordarrelle Patterson. Do you envision a backfield here? Do you have a favorite one you want to invest in 2022?
I think we need to look at Atlanta this way. Arthur Smith, who's calling the plays in Atlanta, used to be the OC in Tennessee with Derrick Henry. He loves that downhill run game with a big back. Guess what? That's what Tyler Allgeier is.
Yeah.
He could be that base running back, first, second down. Cordarrelle Patterson, he was PPR running back 7 last year. Incredible role, scored 11 touchdowns, caught 52 passes. But this is an offense, Mauricio, that doesn't project to be very good under Marcus Mariota. So my question is, how good can Allgeier be on an offense that we don't think is going to score a lot of touchdowns, be in the red zone very often, or if they do, maybe they're trying to throw the ball in with, you know, with their weapons on the outside with London and Pitts and Patterson. So between the two, I still love Cordarrelle Patterson. You can get him so late in drafts. He's going after guys like Ronald Jones, James Robinson, Michael Carter. That's just stupid. You can get both of these guys because nobody's drafting Tyler Allgeier either. So get one of the two guys, but Patterson's going to be the guy catching the passes, and we want those high-value touches. They are worth so much more in fantasy than a guy getting a 3-yard handoff on first down.
Yeah, totally agree. Cordarrelle Patterson is undervalued. I wasn't not that much in Cordarrelle Patterson shape this year, but after I saw his ADP sanks, I was like, oh man, put me in.
Right.
Like a running back 3, and Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be probably third in targets in this team, right? Beneath Kyle Pitts and Drake London.
He's an explosive playmaker on a team that needs explosive playmakers. Yeah. So the best part about Tyler Allgeier is he's taking those, you know, bumps and bruises in between the tackles away from Patterson. I don't want Cordarrelle Patterson getting first down handoffs. I want him getting jet sweeps, reverses, screen passes. That's what I want him doing because he's electric in space. Nobody wants to see him taking a handoff, you know, on third and one.
Do you see Falcons using both of them in the same play, in the same package?
Hey, maybe. You know, Arthur Smith's a pretty creative guy. He's done a good job designing run games in the past. So I'm excited to see what they can do. I know Patterson is kind of a flash in the pan. He's been in the NFL for a million years and really just broke out last year. But, you know, it's like we said, a team that needs playmakers is going to use who they have. And, you know, and also Tyler Allgeier is still a rookie. So who knows how much they're going to put on his plate? Who knows how good he's going to be at pass protection, protecting Mariota's backside? So, you know, we'll see who gets in there.
That's the key. Pass protection for a running back rookie, that's the key. And talking about pass protection and doing a third round role and protecting the quarterback, we have Rashad White and the Buccaneers disputing the position with Gio Bernard. Everyone is excited about Rashad White, and it's like, oh,
it's
man.
It's crazy.
Why?
Yeah, this is a kid. He's the shiny new toy, okay? He was a pretty good receiver in college at Arizona State. He had 43 catches last year. But he's really only had one season of any kind of production in college, right? So if go back and look up his stats, and you're going to be like, where's the other years? Where's everything else? Yeah. It's one season that he had any kind of role. So you're telling me this kid with 1 year of experience for the most part at Arizona State is going to come in what could be Tom Brady's final season, and he's going to take over this passing down role, pass protecting role over Gio Bernard, who had other offers to go other places but chose to come back to Tampa Bay, or Leonard Fournette, who saw 84 targets last year in just 14 games, which was the third most in the league, only behind Najee Harris and Austin Eckler. So that's a very, very valuable role. I think Rashad White is massively overdrafted because nobody's talking Gio Bernard. People don't think he's in the league anymore.
Yeah. And actually, reading the Pro Football Focus draft guide in spring, one of the cons that Rashad White had, the red flags, and I'm reading it textually from the PFF draft guide. Work in progress in pass protection. Has the desire, but not the refinement. So, do we're really thinking that Tom Brady, that wants a running back that can protect, is going to trust a rookie that has to work in pass protection? I don't think so.
No, not at all. That maybe they drafted him to be Gio's replacement next year.
Yeah.
And that they can take. Yeah. They just gave Leonard Fournette a new 3-year contract extension. It's not like they're trying to move off of Leonard Fournette. I know people joke about his weight and all this, but push come to shove, Leonard Fournette is going to be the main man in that backfield that's going to score a ton of points. So if you can buy the dip on Leonard Fournette and he falls to maybe the third round for you, I'm scooping him up every time. Yeah. That team's going to score a ton of points.
And we're like trying to determine who's going to be the running back on third down. Probably it's going to be Leonard Fournette also.
Right. Right. Like we said, 84 targets last year.
Yeah. So, yeah, Rashad White is being overdrafted. But we have to take a look in training camp and preseason. Speaking of other running backs, a role, an early down role, the other role in other team, Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Sonny Michel versus Raheem Mostert. I must say, Brian, I must say, I am a Chase Edmonds truther this year. And the ADP, it's like I put hearts on my eyes every time I see Chase Edmonds in the eighth round. He's going to be the leader in touches. Mm-hmm. I know he's not a third round role as a workhorse and all that. And then Sonny Michel and Raheem Mostert are going to be a complement for him. But Chase Edmonds, he's talented, he's efficient, he's a fit for this offense. I really love him. What do you think about these running backs in Miami?
And again, sometimes you just got to follow the money. They gave Chase Edmonds a lot of money to come in and play in this offense, right? So again, you got Mike McDaniels, new head coach in Miami. Where did he come from? San Francisco. So think of that offense when you think of, you remember we were just talking about Eli Mitchell and Mostert, who used to be there, and then Jeff Wilson, and on and on and on. So they paid Chase Edmonds all this money to commit. Uh-huh. He is great in space. That's where they want to get him the football. Mostert signed a one-year, $3.1 million deal. But we know he can't stay healthy. He's played in 16 games in 2019, and they had a great year that year. But since then, he played in 8 games in 2020 and 1 game last year.
Yeah.
Sony Michel's deal, 1 year, $1.1 million. So most of the game, three That's times as much. That's money. Crazy to me.
That's punching back money, Brian.
That makes no sense to me.
One million for Sony Michel?
Sony Michel last year for the Rams had 845 yards and 4 touchdowns. Yeah. But you got to remember, they also had Daryl Henderson. They had Cam Akers at times. And no team threw inside the 10-yard line more than the Rams did. They led the NFL in that. So you got McDaniels now with this new scheme running the football. You got a space back in Edmonds. Who's going to be that grinder between the tackles? You can get Sony Michel for nothing at the end of your draft. And let people take Mostert. He's tweeting about, hey, I'm back, I'm healthy, blah, blah, blah. Great. You'll be in a walking boot by week 3. I'll take Sony Michel in the second to last round, you know, before I take a kicker or a defense, and I'll just stash him on my bench. And then sooner or later, you're going to have a flex option.
I am not a Sony Michel truther. I think it's not a good running back. He's inefficient. But if he can secure that role in Miami, he's going to pay dividends if you take it in the last rounds.
I'll say this about Sony Michel, and I talk about this on the Fantasy Football Hustle. Sometimes in fantasy, especially if you're in a 14-team league, everybody on your bench can't be a lottery ticket. You know, everyone wants to, I want all these backups because if they hit, I'm going to win the league. Sometimes you need what I call playable depth. You need a guy who went, hey, this guy's got an ankle injury. He's out this week. He's got COVID. He can't play. Whatever it is, you need someone you can actually put in the lineup and pray they fall into the end zone. You can't just have a handcuff who's, you know, out there on the kickoff return team. You need someone who actually plays the game. And that's, in my mind, what Sony Michel is going to be this year for you.
Yeah, I always praise, like, you have to take upside and swing for the home runs. But actually, that's very intelligent. You have to have some of those guys that are not flashy, that don't have a lot of upside, but that can solve you a problem any week, right? With 8-10 points per
season. Yeah, I'm not saying load your bench with those guys. I know, but you have
one
him.
One or two, yeah.
Or even maybe a guy we're going to talk about next in Melvin Gordon. Who, you know, he's going to play some. And if there is an injury, now, you know, things open up and Melvin Gordon or Sony Michel become rock stars.
Talking about the running backs at Denver, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. We hope that Javonte Williams, that this was the year of Javonte Williams, that Javonte Williams could be our top 8 running back. Then Melvin Gordon signed again with the Broncos. Did you see a real balance committee here? Like we had last year, or do you think it's going to be Javonte show?
I mean, last year, it's crazy to think that these guys split evenly.
Yeah.
But, and I don't want to say Melvin Gordon's a bad player. He's not. Melvin Gordon's a very good professional player. I just wish he would have signed somewhere else. That said, they drafted Javonte Williams early to be the man. Melvin Gordon's an older player. They let him go test free agency. Twist in the wind, hang out on the street for anybody else to sign him. They got a new offense here with Nathaniel Hackett now calling the plays. He is known for targeting the running backs. So I think people are underestimating just how many passes Javonte Williams could catch. Think of, you know, Aaron Jones in Green Bay. Nathaniel Hackett was the offensive coordinator for Syracuse University here where I live. So I got to see him up close and personal. They're throwing checkdowns and screen passes to, you know, every kind of, you know, freshman and degenerate we've got out there, because Syracuse is not a very good football team. But, you know, he was here and we made a bowl game, I believe, the year he was the OC. So I think it is the Javonte Williams show. He's creeping up, though, Mauricio, in drafts. Now he's sliding into round 2. I think by the time the Kings Classic comes around, 14-team league, I'm going to make a prediction right now. I think he goes in the first round.
Yeah, I totally agree. In a 14-team league, he's going to be in the first round.
Nope. I know my buddy Dwayne, he's telling me these drafts he's in, he's getting Javonte in the 3rd round. in some of these drafts. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd take him in the second round easily, because that's how you're going to win your league. If Javonte Williams hits, and you have to draft like you're right. A lot of people go, they draft scared. They draft for safety. Like, no, draft like you know what you're doing. Draft like what everything you do is going to work out. Draft Javonte Williams because you think he's going to be a top five running back. And if he is, great. And if he's not, that's fantasy football. You move on.
I think the floor, the Javonte Williams floor, it's very safe. It's probably top 15.
Yeah. I mean, think about it now. You're going to spread this offense out. They're not playing this dinosaur system with the old coaching staff. You've got an innovative play caller. Oh, by the way, you've got Russell Wilson at quarterback throwing the football to Albert O and Judy and Sutton and Tim Patrick. What are we doing here? Nobody's going to be packing eight guys in the box against Denver. You're not looking to stop the run. That division is a shootout. You're going to have to score 35 points a week to win. And guess what happens? They're going to be throwing balls into the end zone, pass interference call, balls placed down at the 1 yard line. Guess who's getting that run? Javonte Williams. He's going to have 10 touchdowns for pass interference calls in the end zone next year.
Yeah. Actually, I love Javonte Williams as a hero running back if you start with a running back. Because if you start with a wide receiver, like Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase in the first round, and then in the second round, you can snag Javonte Williams, I think it's an amazing start. Do you prefer Javonte Williams, Saquon Barkley, or Aaron Jones?
I would go Javonte Williams right there. Okay. Nice. You know, good line. I trust the play caller out of all those guys. If you look at those three guys in particular, Saquon Barkley, he's a home run hitter. He's going to run for 1 yard, 1 yard, 1 yard, 60-yard touchdown. That's who he is. Hopefully, I mean, his injuries have kind of been fluky of late. We hope he can stay healthy. But again, pretty bad team. We think Denver's going to be pretty good. They've got a good defense. And again, great division. They're going to score points. Aaron Jones, he's got a split touches with A.J. Dillon. I think he's going to catch a lot of balls this year. I'm not opposed to him at all, but he's not going to have that rushing upside also that Javonte Williams has. I think that he's going to get a lot of carries taken away, especially on the goal line from A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, I agree. Then let's move on to another offense that we think is going to be prolific. It's been in the past, have some holes to this year, the wide receiver position at the Kansas City Chiefs. It's like everyone job to reclaim, right? Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the rookie Sky Moore, and Mecole Hardman. Who do you think? I know what you are going to say, and this is the moment I was most excited for you to say in the Telefantasy podcast. Who steps up in this offense?
It's not popular. It's Juju Smith-Schuster.
I know.
Juju Smith-Schuster is a Pro Bowl wide receiver, okay? And he could have come to Kansas City last year. They offered him a contract last year. He chose, for whatever reason, to stay and sign a one-year deal in Pittsburgh. So he could have come last year. They wanted him. They've got a plan for Juju. So, and I've tweeted this a million times. Please follow me on Twitter at Drake Fantasy, by the
way. Please do it. Do it right now.
Do it right now, please. So you got Juju Smith-Schuster out there in an offense that was number two in pass attempts last year, third in completions, and fourth in yards. You're telling me outside of Travis Kelce, is the one in this offense, but you've got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who's a one-trick pony deep threat, Sky Moore, who could be good, but again, he's a rookie, and how many teams, what was he like, the 11th rookie wide receiver drafted off the board? Right. So it's not like every team was clamoring to get Sky Moore. And you've got Mecole Hardman, who's never done anything in the NFL. And you're telling me those guys are all going to shine over Juju Smith-Schuster, who has a nose for the end zone. Go look up his stats and see how many touchdowns he scored in Pittsburgh. He has a way to get open in the end zone. People say, oh, touchdowns are fluky. Well, if you do it every single year, you're pretty good at it. You know, you can find separation. And I think
you're in a better offense that throws for more touchdowns than the offense you were. Yeah, I can see it.
Right, because people are going to be doubling also Travis Kelce. Yeah. And so now you've got Juju. He can play inside. He can play outside. He's got versatility that way. I'm in on Juju. Nobody because he's not the shiny new toy. Sky Moore is. And plus, Sky Moore has a cool name. If Sky Moore's name was Fred Wilson, nobody would draft him.
You're killing all my Sky Moore shares right there. Right there, Ryan. The Sky Moore Fred Wilson shares.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen with Juju? You think you see it aligning more in the slot or outside? Because we've seen like two tails, right, with Juju. The year that we saw it in the slot, that was amazing with Steelers. Then the next year we saw it from the outside, and it wasn't good or not that good what we expected. What do you think the Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be in the role in Kansas City?
I'd like to see him inside, but you also get Travis Kelce, who plays a lot on the slot. I don't know. I think when you're spreading people out so much like that, it almost doesn't matter. But he excels in the slot, working over the middle of the field. He's not going to beat you deep. That's not Juju's game. So if he's working over the middle of the field, I think he can have a really good year. Let Sky Moore go deep. Let MVS and Hardman, the speedsters, that's their game. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to eat with yards after the catch. That's his game. He's going to catch little five-yard, you know, dig routes, and then he's going to turn up field and win that way. So he's just a different player than those other guys, too. People look at it, they're a wide receiver. They're different players. MVS and Hardman are very different players than Juju.
Yeah, totally. Where do you have Juju Smith-Schuster ranked?
I mean, I'm not a guy who comes out and does like individual rankings, but I like looking on ADP and seeing where people are taking him. And right now he's coming off the board at wide receiver 34. Okay. So guys going ahead of him include Amari Cooper. I would take Juju ahead of Amari Cooper. Okay. Who else is going ahead of him that
Cortland Sutton. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I know. Dylan. My co-host, Dwayne, is very, very big on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think there's a lot more competition this year. And, you know, yes, he earned those targets at the end of the year, but Swift wasn't there. Hockenson wasn't there. Now they also added DJ Chark. Jameson Williams is going to be in the fold now. So I don't see Amon-Ra St. Brown getting all those same targets. You know, Adam Thielen is, you know, getting older by the second, aren't we all? You know, Michael Thomas... I know we saw videos today of Michael Thomas running routes, but I mean, he's so old. He's kind of, like I said, he's a one-trick pony in the opposite direction than one of these Kansas City guys. He's only a guy who operates in the short area. And if he doesn't have that burst off the line of scrimmage, you know, who knows? We'll see. He's been battling injuries for 2 years, so I'm not very high on Michael Thomas. And he's playing with Jameis Winston. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'd take all those guys.
Do you take Juju Smith-Schuster over Gabriel Davis? One that is going hyped as hell this offseason, Gabriel Davis, and the other one, Juju Smith-Schuster, that has been undervalued.
It's funny, I mentioned that on a draft we just did on the Fantasy Football Hustle. I said, why is Gabe Davis, who's the second option on a pass happy offense, going a round ahead of Juju, who could be the second option on a pass happy offense? I mean, so there you're just buying the dip. They're both going to throw a ton. So yeah, you know what you do? You draft a running back or a tight end in the round where Gabe Davis goes. And then the next round you swing around, and you get Juju.
Yeah. You're almost convincing me of having some shares of Juju Smith-Schuster. I can see it. I mean, you're going to have a piece of a great offense linked with the best QB in the NFL. And we've saw Juju Smith-Schuster produce in the past. Probably he's the safest option between Marquez Valdez, Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman, and Juju. Probably I'm really too hyped with Sky Moore. And I blame Derek Brown about that a little bit. But Juju Smith-Schuster, it could be. I prefer Juju Smith-Schuster than Marquez Valdez-Scantling and way better than Mecole Hardman.
And people talk about Juju like he's this dusty old wide receiver. Like, I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is 25 years old. Not like he's 31 or Julio Jones, who's going to play at 33 this year. I mean, he's 25.
Yeah.
He's been in the league, you know, he played, let's see, 2017 he started. So he was super young when he came into the league. And then he played for 5 years in Pittsburgh. But I mean, this is a guy who's seen, you know, 97 targets in 2020, 111 targets in 2018 when he made the Pro Bowl. You know, I'm in on Juju. Like, let's see what he can do. And, you know, three of those years, he also caught seven or more touchdowns. So I'm in. Sign me up. When you and I are on the clock at the Kings Classic in Canton, Ohio at the Hall of Fame, and it's coming down, if Juju's on the board in like the fifth or sixth round, you're going to be eyeballing me and I'll be looking at you, and you know the sticker's going on the board.
We needed a Juju Smith-Schuster truther in the Stadio Fantasy podcast, and we have it with Ryan Drake. We have love for all the players.
When he catches 40 balls and plays in like seven games last year, just delete this from YouTube.
Yeah, totally. No one cared about this. No one saw this, right? And for finishing our podcast, our episode, Brian, there is hype going on right now in the training camps at the Buffalo Bills headquarters. No, I'm not talking about Gabriel Davis because he's way hyped, and I think it's like, okay, again, Gabriel Davis? No. We are going to talk about who is going to be the slot wide receiver. It's Jamison Crowder versus Isaiah McKenzie. That probably most of us thought Jamison Crowder was the one that was to operate in the slot in this offense. And the first time the Bills go to training camp, the praise are Isaiah McKenzie is doing actually great. What do you think about these two wide receivers?
So I, too, thought, wow, Jamison Crowder, he's a professional wide receiver. Yeah. He's a guy who can come in and play well. And you know what? Maybe he doesn't need training camp. Maybe they want to get Isaiah McKenzie and Shakur, the draft pick, in there. Yeah. They want to get them some run. But remember, they went out and they brought Isaiah McKenzie back. He was a free agent. They brought in Jamison Crowder on a one-year, $2 million contract. They're not paying him anything.
Nothing.
They could get rid of him, and he could not even make the team. You know, it's not like there's a major investment here. Isaiah McKenzie, we saw him at the end of the year when Cole Beasley and Manny Sanders were beat up, really produce. He's an electric player. He's always kind of been this special teamer, though, so I don't know if he can handle that role full-time, which probably is why they went out and got Jamison Crowder. But we have 184 vacated targets open and up for grabs without Beasley and Sanders. So you're telling me I got Diggs on one side, Gabe Davis on the other, and somebody's playing in the slot here in an offense that threw, I believe, the sixth most passes in the NFL last year. Like, I want a piece of that. If it's attached to Josh Allen, yes, sign me up, and you can get them for nothing at the end of your draft.
I agree. I'm starting to prefer Isaiah McKenzie over Jamison Crowder. Totally.
And that's something we'll just watch the camp battle, you know, read the notes, pay attention. These are guys who, especially if you're in a deep 14-team league like we're going to be in the Kings Classic, Jamison Crowder, whoever wins this battle is going to start in people's lineups most week in a 14-team league.
Yeah. You can't imagine in a 14-team league what kind of players you end up as starters.
When you have three flexes.
Yeah. I mean, Isaiah McKenzie's going to be starting.
Anybody with a pulse. I mean, tight ends who get, you know, 20 routes a game. They're in there like, put them in. Anybody we talked about could be starting today.
Yeah, totally. Totally, man. Brian, thank you a lot for coming to the Stadio Fantasy podcast. It was a really, really amazing to have you, an honor. See you soon, man. We are like 15 days only to seeing each other again, and it's really, really amazing. I'm looking forward to it.
I can't wait to see you, Mauricio. Thank you so much. I'm ecstatic to get in front of your audience here on Estadio Fantasy, and you know, hopefully these folks can come follow me on Twitter at Drake Fantasy. Check out the Fantasy Football Hustle podcast. It's on YouTube. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. Just search Fantasy Football Hustle. And man, we're going to have some fun out there. We're going to burn Canton down.
Yeah. Watch out, Canton. And I can say, go and listen to The Hustle because it's a really good podcast. I am a listener. I really enjoy it. They are doing really, really great things, great stuff, great advice. And it's really, really fun and entertaining. So,
and draft Juju Smith-Schuster.
Please. When you draft Juju Smith-Schuster, you think about Ryan Drake and all his knowledge. Brian, see you soon. Y amigos, muchísimas gracias por escuchar este episodio. Yo soy Mauricio Gutiérrez y esto fue el Estadio Fantasy Podcast.